Hi, this is Pastor Woods, and I wanted to bring you this week's message. I want to remember that last week was Resurrection Sunday, when Jesus Christ came out of the grave and conquered death and sin and made it possible for us to know that one day we'll be able to be with Him for all eternity, because He will give us eternal life too. I was thinking about something that used to happen with my dog Shadow. He was a wonderful little dog, and I miss him terribly. But I remember that when I would come into the room and he had done something wrong, he would try to hide from me. He would walk around with his tail kind of tucked. He knew something was wrong, and he would avoid looking at me because he didn't want to establish any kind of eye contact. He just was afraid, you know, that if he looked at me and I saw him, well, he would try to go to the other room, and I would know there was something wrong, and so I would deal with whatever the problem was. I think that's kind of how Peter was there after the resurrection, when the third time that he showed himself to his disciples, and they had been fishing. And well, let's just read about it in John chapter 21, verses 1 through 22. It says, "Later Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael, and Cana, from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, which would be James and John, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, 'I'm going fishing.' 'We'll come too,' they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, 'Fellows, have you caught any fish?' 'No,' they replied. Then he said, 'Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some.' So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It's the Lord.' When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work. He jumped into the water and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. 'Bring some of the fish you've just caught,' Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 of the large stinky fish in the net, and yet the net had not torn. 'Now come and have some breakfast,' Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, 'Who are you?' They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish, and this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' Peter replied, 'you know I love you.' 'Then feed my lambs,' Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' 'Yes, Lord,' Peter said, 'you know I love you.' 'Then take care of my sheep,' Jesus said. A third time he asked him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Then feed my sheep. I'll tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go.' Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, 'Follow me.' Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, 'Lord, who will betray you?' Peter asked Jesus, 'What about him, Lord?' Jesus replied, 'If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me.' So the rumor spread among the community of believers that this disciple wouldn't die. But that isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, 'If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?' So how does God feel about us when we're not following him like we should? Maybe you've been out of step with the Lord and you're not sure how God feels about you right now. If that's you, then I want you to pay close attention to Peter's story. When Jesus commissioned Peter into service, what did he tell him to do? It's found in Matthew chapter 4, 18 and 19. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." Peter was the fisherman for fish, and Jesus changed his life and gave him a new calling. He was now to be a fisher of men. Peter was a rough hulk of a man, and like many strong men, he was self-sufficient and very strong-willed. He was accustomed to taking care of himself and others. I think Peter was suffering more than any of the other disciples about the death of Jesus, because remember, Peter denied that he knew Jesus three different times. He had told him, "I will go with you to death, I'll stand with you and do whatever," and then when it came time for the rubber to meet the road, he denied that he knew Jesus Christ, and even cursed, letting them know that he was not one of the disciples. When Jesus turned and looked at him at the time, and he'd already told him before the rooster crows, "You'll deny me three times," and Peter went out and wept bitterly because he knew that he had forsaken his witness for Jesus. In Peter's story, Jesus has been crucified and resurrected, and Peter knows Jesus is alive, but he doesn't know what kind of relationship he has with Jesus. It just isn't the same as it used to be. Peter doesn't sit constantly at his master's feet anymore, trying to absorb everything Jesus had to teach. The rooster has crowed three times. Peter has let the master down. Now, in his resurrected body, Jesus only appears in public, and even less and less. Peter wondered what the future holds. They had three wonderful years, but are they all over? I mean, is this the end? Where do we go from here? The glow is off of his life. Peter was a man who, after following Jesus, after receiving his commission to fish for men, got discouraged and went back to his old lifestyle. Even after spending over 3 years with Jesus, he still had this independent streak. Those 3 years seemed like a dream, and now he has reverted to his old ways. He went fishing. Instead of following Jesus, who had given him direction for 3 years, he retreated to his safety zone where he was most comfortable. Not only did Peter revert to his old ways, he brought his friends with him, causing them to stumble in their walk with Jesus. How will Jesus respond knowing this number one man had abandoned the cause? John 21:4-5 says, "At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, 'Fellows, have you caught any fish?' 'No,' they replied." Jesus called out to them as friends, but the disciples didn't realize it was him. "Do you have any fish?" he asked. Did Jesus rebuke them for going backward in their walk with him? Was he angry? Did he say, "What's the matter with you blockheads? Didn't you learn anything in those 3 years I spent with you? I'm disgusted with all of you and your lack of faith, and especially you, Peter. You're supposed to be a leader, and you're leading my sheep astray." No, that didn't happen. Jesus did not rebuke them. He simply helped them see that their efforts at finding satisfaction apart from him were fruitless. All he said was, "How's the fishing?" They just looked at each other with that look that fishermen get when they've been skunked. Jesus then gave them a suggestion. John chapter 21, verse 6. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many stinky, ugly fish in it. So we have the carpenter telling Peter the fisherman how to catch fish. And amazingly, Peter responded. It was a repeat of what happened in Luke chapter 5, verse 5, when Jesus had gotten on the boat to preach the people on the shore, and when he was done, he told Peter and the fishermen to throw their nets in. And there it says in Luke 5, 5, "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night, didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." When they let the nets down that time, it was full of fish, and this time they caught a huge catch of fish, those slimy, stinky fish that flop all around. When they recognized it was Jesus standing on shore, Peter jumped into the water and about drowned as he swam to meet Jesus. I think he wanted to get there before the other disciples in order to, if Jesus was going to reprimand him, in order to do it in privacy and not be embarrassed by what Jesus was going to say. Jesus had a fire going and was fixing breakfast for Peter and the others. It was a glad reunion for all of them, but you can't help but wonder what was going on in Peter's mind at that time. Peter had to be so uncomfortable during breakfast. All he could think about was how he had betrayed his Savior. It was good to see Jesus again. This was the third time, but Peter remembered how he had denied Christ and let him down when he needed his friendship the most. He was wondering what Jesus was thinking about him. He felt like the other disciples were staring at him too. They had all heard his rash promises and seen his cowardly act. Peter was so ashamed. You know, he was jumpy and nervous and could hardly concentrate on the conversation. He didn't make eye contact with anyone, especially Jesus, just like the naughty dog that I was telling you about at the beginning. Peter tried to steer the conversation away from anything serious, especially the events that had just passed. He didn't want Jesus to reprimand him. He was afraid to hear what Jesus might say. In fact, he had lost his appetite. Peter, who normally ate huge amounts of food, didn't seem to have any appetite at that breakfast to eat the fish and the bread, because he knew Jesus' plan for him was to proclaim the gospel, and his new calling was to be fishing for men, and here he was, reverting back to the old life. I imagine, like I said, Peter dreaded those words of rebuke from Jesus, and he expected to say Jesus to say to him, "Why are you fishing, Peter?" What Jesus did say on the beach that morning says so much more about how Jesus deals with his children who have let him down, who slipped away. John 21:15 says, "After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' Peter replied, 'you know I love you.' 'Then feed my lambs,' Jesus told him." Now, I need to let you know that there are at least three different tenses of love, or definitions of love in Greek. One is the agape love, the unconditional love that God has for us, that he loves us no matter what. Then there's the filial love, which is the brotherly love or friendship, you know, that you can have fellowship with Jesus. Then the eros love, which is romantic love. So Jesus asked Peter if he loved him with God's unconditional or agape love. And he compared Peter's love for him to the old way of life with the words, "more than these." Peter was cut by those words, and they played back in his head. "Do I have complete unconditional love for Jesus?" he thought. "He knows I've denied him and failed him." Peter didn't know how to answer, so he stammered as he said, "You know, I have affection." He was using filio. I have brotherly love. I love you like a friend. I have this kind of love for you." Jesus responded to that by saying, "Feed my sheep." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Again, the word agape. And Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And he used the word filial. Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." Jesus asked the question again, but this time he dropped the comparison of more than these. Peter still didn't know what to do with that word agape, which means unconditional love. It must have sounded pitiful even to Peter as he forced out, "Yes, Lord, yes, Jesus, you know I like you a lot." Jesus responded, "Take care of my sheep." He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And again, using filial, "You know that I hold you in high esteem." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." John 21:17 says a third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." In their conversation, Jesus has moved all the way to Peter. He's made it easy for Peter to know that he's able to be forgiven if he'll just accept it. He's no longer asking if Peter has unconditional love for him. He's now saying, "Peter, do you truly have affection for me? I mean, are you even my friend?" Jesus had rephrased his question three times, each time moving toward the place where Peter could respond to him. Jesus does the same with you and me. He's willing to gently meet us where we are, to reach down with a gentle hand, and he's ready to lift us up and restore us. Jesus is seeking fellowship with you today, and he's willing to come down to where you are and meet you there and gently lift you up to where you ought to be. You don't need to reach for Jesus. He's right there. Just put your hand in his, and he will lift you. Jesus didn't intend to rebuke Peter, but he wanted to gently restore him back to a right relationship with him. He asked three times because Peter had denied him three times. And so there had to be total cleansing. He wanted to cleanse Peter's mind. He wanted to cleanse his heart and his soul, actually his body, soul, and spirit. And he wanted to do it in such a way that Peter would know that he was totally forgiven and totally restored to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. That is because so often Satan comes around and accuses us and says, "Well, you let Jesus down, you didn't do what you're supposed to do, and Jesus is displeased with you." Satan couldn't do that now because Peter knew that he had been cleansed totally. He now belonged where he should in relationship to Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus said, "Feed my sheep," Peter was recommissioned with God's plan for his life. Peter had gone dormant. Jesus couldn't leave him that way. Too much was at stake. He had too much work to do. You know, too many Christians have gone dormant. We've been out fishing when we should have been paying attention to what's going on around us, to our society, with all the people that need to be reached for Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to save all of those people. And our job is to try to warn them about what's coming and let them know that God loves them. Now, while we have forgotten our responsibilities, our world has slipped and is going to hell faster and faster every day. The church has forgot the commission that Jesus Christ has given us. We have compromised so much with the world, and Christians have compromised. We've accepted gay marriage, which is a threat to the family unit. We have okayed the abortion, the morning after pill, and the other kinds of abortion. We have allowed gun control. Our morals, our decency have gone to the gutter. And Jesus wants us to come back to him and wants to lift us up to a life of holiness and be good witnesses for him. Wants us to claim the fact that we're part of God's family. Jesus had to find Peter and bring him back in line. You know, Jesus is looking for Christians today, begging us to get back in line with God's will for our lives. When Jesus and Peter said goodbye that day, I think Jesus leaned toward Peter and whispered in his ear, "Follow me." And I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't say, "Peter, I love you. I have forgiven you. I'm commissioning you to do the will of my Father." Peter was refitted. He was recommissioned. He was ready for Pentecost. You know, after that time on the beach and the prayer time in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, when God filled his people with the Holy Spirit, Peter, who was so willing to deny at the crucifixion, and Peter, who was so ashamed to speak out for Jesus Christ, this same Peter who had been so timid got up and preached a sermon, and 3,000 people came to know the Lord. Before the week was over, there were over 5,000 converts. Let me just ask you the question. Are you ready to meet Jesus on the beach today? Have you done something that you feel has let Jesus down, and you're worried about how he feels about you? Well, let me tell you, God still loves you with the agape love. That's the unconditional love. He still wants to restore you to a right relationship with him. He wants you to know the love that only Jesus Christ can give, and to accept what he's done on the cross by shedding his blood and dying in your place, and then going to the grave, and 3 days later conquering sin, the grave, and death, and coming out arisen forevermore. And he wants you to know that you can have a part of that. That can be part of your inheritance too, as you yield your life completely to the will of God. Are you a Christian today? Have you walked behind light? Are you up to date with Jesus Christ? Is there something between you and your Savior that shouldn't be there? We're told that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So many times we just want to say, well, it's too late. I've done things that were too bad, and I can't get back to God. Certainly he understands that he can't forgive somebody as wicked as I have been. No, he understands that the blood he shed on the cross can go deeper and cleanse more than anything that Satan has put in your life. And I would encourage you today, turn to Jesus Christ. Release yourself to him. Put your all on the altar and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. And find the joy that only Jesus Christ can give to his people. You know, I want to pray with you. Dear Jesus, I'd pray that you help each one that's listened to this message, that you help them to realize that you love them. You love them so much you were willing to go to the cross for them, even if they were the only ones that needed salvation. And I would ask Jesus today, if there's some that don't know you, have never accepted you, that this would be the day that they would pray and ask you for your forgiveness and repent and begin to accept you and live for you as they should. If there's some today, Lord, that have been walking behind light, that feel like they've let you down, help them to know that they just need to call out to you, and you will do what needs to be done to restore them to a right relationship with you. Father, I'd pray that you'll fill us all with your Holy Spirit like you did the disciples on the day of Pentecost. Give us a much deeper love for you, and give us the courage to take a stand for Jesus Christ and tell others about you while we have time. We know it won't be long until you come for us, for your church. Don't let any of us be left behind because we're not walking with you, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, I would encourage you, if you're in the area of Holbrook, Arizona, that maybe you would come to the First Baptist Church on the corner of First Avenue in Buffalo, and I'll be preaching there, Lord willing, this Sunday. And I would invite you to come. Now, Sunday school starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, and there's classes for adults and children. And I would ask, too, that you come at 11 o'clock. That's when I will be speaking. And then 6 o'clock that evening, we have another Bible study, and you're welcome to come to all of that. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you know the routine. My mailing address is Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. My phone number, which you can use either for a text or you can use it for calling me directly, is 623-845-2741. And if you wanted to send something by Gmail, And I will warn you, I get so many messages there, I might possibly miss it. Not ignore you, but miss it, and you can try again or try one of the other ways to contact me. But my Gmail address is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. That stands for Reverend William W. Woods at gmail.com. Praise God. I'm so glad that we were able to talk to you today. And I just hope that if you have anything you need to bring to the Lord, you have the privilege of spending time in prayer. And if I can help, contact me and I'll do what I can to help you get back in right relationship with Jesus Christ.